people really love emoji, and now we've made them 3 times bigger in the transcript, which is fantastic.
I saw a homeless guy, though, listening to something on his headphones, and then, like, he pulled out his Discman. You remember a Discman? Yesterday, Monday, walked into the line with a bunch of my friends at 5 a.m., waited for hours, freezing, because it's California, so obviously it's like 12 degrees Celsius, and yeah, watched the big show from like 8th row.
Yeah, so please explain again. So waking up in the early mornings and staying, you know, in line to go to see the keynote, it's like the, you know, it belongs to the experience, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of stupid. Right, I mean, it makes no sense. Everyone can have a spot, right? So it's really not necessary. But I think it's worth doing at least once or twice if you're on WWDC. It's just kind of part of the experience to like stand in line with friends and chat and speculate what's going to happen and, you know, tweet about it and stuff like that. And then the second part of it is if you're standing in line since early in the morning, then you won't just get a spot. You'll get a really, really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, you even, you know, there's even you there on the keynote, actually, right?
Yeah, I heard so.
I mean, on the video stream.
Yeah, I heard. I've been twice.
Yeah, so you're video famous now.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's funny that really that, you know, you on the other hand, on one hand, you have to just wake up so early just to get a very good spot. But on the other hand, yeah, you talk to people and everything. But I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't so bad. Didn't go into the line at like 2 a.m. like some like super crazy people, just 5 a.m., which is more reasonable. So, yeah, so it wasn't that bad. The only mistake I made was I didn't take I just took my WWDC jacket and I didn't take my second jacket, so I was really freezing at one point. Because, yeah, I mean, people who haven't been to San Francisco don't appreciate the fact that it's not the California weather you expect. It's cold, it's windy, and it's very unpredictable. One moment you're freezing, the other moment you're too hot. Or you're freezing all day long, but you'll still get your skin burned.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, that for me was surprising when I was for the first time in San Francisco in September. It was very warm September that, you know, in San Francisco, it would be cloudy, moist, and pretty cold. But then the moment we would just, you know, go half the, you know, Golden Gate Bridge or go down to the Silicon Valley, it was suddenly so warm, you know, and so hot. It's just the difference was really big.
Absolutely, yeah. So I guess we should talk about the announcements and what was interesting to us and relevant to us.
Sometimes you've typed a whole message and then you realize at the end that you're totally lacking in emojification. And so we've provided the solution. When you tap on the emoji button, we'll highlight all the emojifiable words there, and you can just tap, 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 and emojify.
Yeah, I guess so. For me, what I really liked were the improvements to Watch OS, so to the watch, because I'm still wearing my Apple Watch and I still like it. What I don't like about it is that it's so slow.
Tap, 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 tap.
And then there are some things that are annoying, and apparently they are removing most of the annoyances for me.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm just, with this and many other improvements, I just really wonder. If I hope that it's as good as advertised, that it's not like, oh yeah, we made some progress, or yeah, we made some new cool features, but in practice it will actually kind of suck because it will be half broken half the time.
I mean, you know, when I told my wife, who's also an Apple Watch owner, that you know, now this contacts thing, this contacts button, you know, it will be changed to like a you know, home control center something button, she was like, oh yeah, there is this button here, I never used it.
Yeah, same.
So it's good that, you know, Apple actually realized they made a button nobody used and they decided to do something useful with it.
Yeah, for me, like, what I hope for WWDC is that they take the things they already have, just make them better.
We've made them 3 times bigger.
Refine them, fix the things that have been annoying for a long time, fix the bugs that they haven't fixed over the last year. Because I already like what we have. I like iOS, I like macOS, they're cool. You know, I don't care about Apple Music or Apple News or tvOS. I mean, they're okay, I guess, but, you know, I hope that they wouldn't spread their focus too much over things that are cool but not super useful in practice, at least not to me. And I just hope they would double down on refinements, on things that have been neglected and just stayed in good enough state for a long time, even if maybe it's not so good enough. So there are some, you know, changes to like Apple Music and Apple News and the things I'm not particularly into, but there have been a lot of just good improvements to the core experience, right? On iOS, they redesigned the lock screen, the notifications, they added, they changed the way widgets work. They added a bunch of things, fundamentals that will just improve the core experience. And I'm really happy about that.
And to help you always reach for the right emoji, we're providing emoji predictions as you type. Super handy.
You know, for me, I know one of the biggest things that I heard on the keynote was, finally, they're making Clipboard, you know, cross-platform, you know, finally. I mean, this is like one of these finalies that should have happened like years ago. I mean, the Clipboard has been invented by Windows 95, I think, you know, or I don't know, or Mac OS, I don't know, one in the 90s and hasn't been improved since, you know, and finally they do that, you know, that I don't have to use third-party apps like Clips or other apps, that I can actually have a Clipboard that actually is useful and can be, you know, can be copied and pasted between devices.
Yeah, and I guess it's particularly useful for you, being an iPad only guy, which is not actually true because you still use a lot, your Mac a lot and your iPhone a lot. So you're more of a multi-device person. So that helps. But it's one of those things that it sounds great. I'm glad they did it. I just hope it actually works, because
yeah.
A bunch of these like connectivity, continuity things like AirDrop don't work usually for me, or at least don't work reliably. So I hope they improve on that, on just the reliability of those connected multi-device things.
Yeah, I mean, when they were announcing all these new cool things to iMessage, you know, I read some comments on Twitter saying, yeah, we love the cool things. We love the stamps, effects, and all these, you know, bells and whistles. But could we just have iMessage show the messages in the right order?
Super handy.
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. So what do you think is particularly relevant out of those iOS news for Nosby?
I mean, for us, you know, the most important thing I think is Siri. It's being open. I hope we'll use that, because, you know, people have been begging us to do some kind of Siri integration, and, you know, the Siri integrations up until now were like good. We're doing, you know, like kung fu through the reminders through something, or telling Siri to send an email to a task or something like that. So suddenly, maybe, you know, we don't know yet, we'll explore that now, we could really use Siri for like for some serious interactions with your tasks. So hopefully this, you know, this actually works, you know, as long as Siri actually understands what I'm saying, which is sometimes difficult for her. So
yeah, a bad news here, probably going to be difficult. The Siri API is quite limited. It looks pretty good if you're in one of those app categories that they predefined, but it's not a general like general purpose versatile API you can use for anything. So I'm not actually sure if we're going to be able to do it. At least not this year. They they definitely stressed that or hinted at the fact that this is just the first step.
Okay, you're there, man. You're on the, you know, on the spot there. You know, go talk to Apple people, figure this out. Maybe there is a way at least to add tasks through Siri. I mean, seriously, this, you know, this is the basic thing people have been asking us.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll explore it. Yeah, and I guess just improvements to notifications, the rich notifications with extra content might be very useful. Widgets, like there have been widgets, but they haven't been very widely used actually. And it makes a lot of sense. Like you're on the lock screen and now you just swipe right and you have this shortened list of your priorities for the day. And that makes a lot of sense as a widget, right? So I think that would be
super handy.
Cool if people used more of it, if it was more accessible than it has been until now. And also, the widget will also now be available when you 3D touch on the app icon. So it will be visible in more places.
Yeah, I saw that. I was actually curious about that because, you know, when they introduced the iPhone SE, so the small iPhone, actually this small iPhone doesn't have 3D touch. And then, but then in this keynote, they actually doubled down on 3D touch and added, you know, much more functional, you know, more functions, more features to it. So apparently the 3D touch is a thing.
Yeah, though for what it's worth, actually not 100% sure just yet, but I think the changes are not that that huge. They just, you know, extended, you know, use 3D touch in more places. But that's about it. It's not like a very fundamental change.
I mean, there is a trick with 3D touch, you know. I don't know if many people know it, but I realized people who own iPhone 6S or 6S Plus don't know it. It's like when you are typing something, you can 3D touch, you know, force touch on the keyboard, and suddenly you can actually, it turns the keyboard into like a, you know, like a trackpad.
A trackpad.
Yeah, and you can actually move the cursor around the text, which is very, very useful when you edit the text. I've been using this for, you know, very, very often, and it's, you know, it's one of these killer features for me for the iPhone 6S.
Yeah, again, when it works, because sometimes it mistakes, it gets confused if you meant to just press it and start to like swipe across the screen to pick your key, or did you mean to actually like hard press it? So yeah, so hopefully they'll improve on things like that. I haven't yet installed iOS 10 beta on my phone, but we'll see soon enough.
Yeah, so you are planning to install the iOS 10 on your phone?
Not on my main phone, no. It's probably going to get a second phone as a test device, because there's just like a lot of iOS 10 things for iPhone. But it's just, I'm not going to do it on my main phone. It's too kind of risky. Betas break all the time. But I'm also like installing it on my iPad, so.
Okay, I'm also going to install the iOS 10 on one of my iPads. You know, we can link to the show where we talked how many iPads I have. I have actually given up my iPad Air. I gave it to my mom, but I got an iPad 3 from her. So I'm going to just install on the iPad 3, the iOS 10. It's going to be painfully slow there, but
iPad 3? Can you actually do it?
I don't know.
Is it supported?
I'll check today.
It's probably not supported. Yeah. Yeah, I've also been thinking of like completely like crazy ideas. Like they added these iMessage apps, which is kind of a strange idea, but okay. And it's like, oh, what if you could iMessage and task somehow, and like you know, like just put like you know, give someone a task. That might be interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
I don't know if it would actually be useful, but yeah, something to explore.
Huh. Yeah, so I guess this idea with, you know, iMessage apps comes from the similar notion of, you know, Facebook Messenger doing like the message bots or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been this notion in one form or another in other messaging apps for a while, but obviously iMessage being a built-in iOS thing can make those much more powerful, because those iMessage apps are actual apps, you know, integrating with iMessage safely but powerfully, because they're actually apps.
I mean, they really doubled down on iMessage. There was lots of information about iMessage in the keynote, and from what you're saying, it means that they really, you know, worked this part through.
Tap, 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 and emojify.
Yeah, yeah. Coming back to Apple Watch, I really wonder about that, because I hope they would make a truly native API, which they didn't. It's still this kind of weird, just a weird system for like making apps and interfaces for Apple Watch. But they promised that it's all much, much faster. So again, I haven't actually been able to test that yet, because you first need an iPhone with iOS 10 before you can install watchOS 3 on your watch. But we'll find out soon enough. But if it's true, that's really good. And like, especially to have a major improvement in that area before new hardware, right? And also a bunch of new capabilities in watchOS 3. So Apple Watch has been very frustrating to me as a user and as a developer, and watchOS 3 gives gives me a bit more new hope that it might actually work and be useful.
Yeah, but the glance is gone, right? So we will not have our beautiful glance anymore. We will only have our, you know, complication, right?
Maybe. I'm actually not exactly sure, because there isn't a special glances page anymore. There just isn't a separate concept like that. But in the dock, so in the kind of app switcher, like the idea is that this switcher is kind of glances, but I'm not sure if you can have a different view, you know, in the dock to show what we had on the glance, which is the progress ring. But then when you enter the app, you see the priority list. I'm not sure about that yet. We'll find out this week and we'll explore it. But yeah, but essentially there isn't a separate page for it.
Okay, so let's see how this goes, how this turns out. Yeah, but I'm still hopeful for the watch, because, you know, hopeful that, you know, with these improvements already the you know, the current hardware will work, you know, good enough. And then hopefully the new hardware comes up, you know, in the fall, and then we'll have just, you know, faster watches and better watches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in general, one theme that we've seen a lot this WWDC is extensibility. So iOS has opened up on a lot of new extension points, which means that you can have like bits and pieces of functionality from third-party apps integrated tightly with the system, which is great. Like, it's not like a full screen experience that iOS is its own thing, and if you want your own thing, you have to have a separate app. Like, no, you can integrate with maps now. And if you're like Uber or Lyft, you can like be in Apple Maps, right? If you like, you can add a lot of things to iMessage, which is interesting, right? There's just a lot of places where you can add just powerful, dynamic, custom functionality to all sorts of places in the apps and all sorts of system apps, you know, just by plugging into it, right? Without having to like go into your full app. It's like a transparent mode of interaction that you're just adding bits of functionality to things that are already here. It's very exciting. They first added app extensions 2 years ago with the share extension and the widget. But since then, like, a lot of new extension points have been added. And that's just awesome.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, you open Apple Maps and then you see, for example, you know, you just explore the map nearby, and then you see there is a grocery store, and then where you usually go shopping, and then over there you see a list of tasks from Nozbe attached to it because there is geolocation, for example.
Hard for me to give you a very specific example, but They added this, like, I don't know if you remember, I think last year they added, advertised this thing called like proactive or like this,
yeah,
this
right.
kind of awareness thing that it will like figure out your context and try to like suggest you things. So for example, when you have to leave, if you have a calendar appointment with an address, then it would alert you when it's time to leave to be on time.
Right.
It was like, I actually haven't seen much of these features at all. It just was like super limited, but they're like clearly going in this direction. Like they want more of this intelligence, this assistance from the system. And the interesting thing is, again, apps can plug into the system. You can like feed information about the user context to the system that the system can then use for like suggestions and like all sorts of like little improvements that it can like almost through magic figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, this is and this is really cool. I mean, what you say, having applications connect with each other. I mean, this is what we've been always all about, you know, with Nosby, with integrations that we have with Evernote, with Dropbox, with other apps, and there are more integrations coming. Like for me, this is the key, you know, that instead of competing with each other, we would just be, you know, joining forces together to make, you know, the life of the user better.
Absolutely.
And for me, this is really cool. For me, like on the Apple Watch, you know, and there are two revolutionary features, really revolutionary. So one is really close to my heart. Finally, I will be able to have Mini as a watch face. I mean, you know, for me, having two girls and a third one will be born like in a month, you know, they are complaining that I have only Mickey and where's Mini on my watch, you know? I mean, suddenly, you know, the revolution comes to the Apple Watch. I'm going to have Mini.
Truly disruptive, transformative experience.
Super handy.
And the other thing I was thinking about is that we will be able to compete on circles.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, that's cool.
So we will be, like, especially in our team here, we have you, we have Radek, we have Rafa, we have, you know, we're all into fitness, and we will be able to actually create, like, this group of people who are just checking each other's circles and motivating each other. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, or stalking each other.
Yeah, motivating sounds better than stalking.
Yeah, it does. Let's stay with that. One thing I notice is, remember how a lot of people have been talking about, oh, you know, Apple can't compete on services and can't compete on like artificial intelligence, and like Google and Facebook made this huge bet on AI, and Apple like has no expertise in that, they're not structured to do it. And I noticed just how multiple times during the keynote, they tried to like convince us that they can do AI and that they can integrate in, you know, with it, and also stressed very hard that, oh, they actually do it in a way that's secure and respects your privacy, that it's AI, but it's on device, and it you know, uses something they call differential privacy if they collect any data for like statistics you know, to have best of both worlds. And it just I just noticed how much they try to like sell it that that no, actually we can do it.
Yeah, I think so. And of course what I really like about Apple is the thing about privacy, you know, privacy, because I think this is what still, you know, sets them apart, because both Facebook and Google are actually ad companies. I mean, they're ad agencies, you know, with a twist, you know. So
yes,
So you are a product, actually. When you're using their products, you are a product. You are becoming a product. And what I like about Apple is that you are not a product. You're a customer. And this is for me, it's really important. You know, I'm not very well known. I'm not, you know, an influential politician, or, you know, I don't know, the, you know, top grossing celebrity or whatever, or whoever. But still, you know, it's creepy when Google knows so much stuff about me and Facebook knows so much stuff about me and they create my profile and everything. And with Apple, I feel more at ease because I know that, you know, things are encrypted, things are secure, things are private. And if I go to Apple Maps, I'm not being tracked or stalked, actually.
Yeah, they definitely want to make that a selling point. And on the other hand, you know, people voice their concerns about that, how that might set them behind long term. That, you know, just AI things and like services and being able to like use data at scale will be you know, very useful for user experience, and they would miss out on that. So again, it's interesting how, you know, who knows if it's actually going to be any good and if they actually can compete on that front with, you know, Google or Facebook. But it's there's definitely progress in that area, and they really want to sell it.
Yeah. For me, also where what I really like about them is something that is close also to my heart is that, you know, we run Nozbe. We run an application that helps people get things done, that helps people get organized. We are all about it. We do, you know, webinars. We have video series. We are going to, we have, you know, productivity books. We have all this information to help people get things done. Like, we are all into this, and we will have some pilot programs right now at schools of running Nozbe there for free for schools, and all these things that, you know, that like we invest in people in education and in all this to help people get organized, and you know, the good things, you know, come back when people come back as customers. But, you know, what we also like is the fact that we can invest in people in their productivity, and they are the same. And for me the best example of that was the Swift Playgrounds, actually. So this new app that that will just help me learn to code Swift with my 7-year-old over the summer and then fire you. Okay, just kidding. But the cool idea is that, you know, my daughter will learn the basics of programming in a very cool way on an iPad. And I think it's super cool. What do you think?
Not really relevant to me personally, but definitely cool and interesting. It's kind of a shame that there's no way it's going to be actually translated into different languages, at least not Polish, because my oldest nephew is, you know, almost old enough to probably play with that. But if it's in English, then he couldn't do it.
Yeah, for me it's not a problem because my girl goes to the English school. But what I like about it is you know, I'm not sure if my daughter will like it, actually, but from what I've seen, you know, her playing the Monument Valley game and, you know, going through this game like, I don't know, 20 times, she likes the logical, you know, challenges. So for her, you know, to learn programming, to learn moving this, you know, this creature down through the maze with a set of special commands, learning the loops like that. Yeah, I'm curious about it, you know, because in our times we had the, I think it was, I mean, in what I had when I was starting out, I had the Turbo Pascal language, and it was ridiculous. And I had the, I think, Logo language as well with Turtle, you know, moving around, which was kind of similar to Swift Playgrounds, but, you know, very old school with lots of pixels. It wasn't really that easy and that friendly. And now, with the Swift Playgrounds, I'm gonna try and I'm gonna see if my daughter actually learns something. And you know, for me, programming. I mean, I'm no longer programming in our company because I have you and I have other programmers and you are all better than me. But I started out. I mean, I wrote the whole code in the very beginning. And what drew me to programming was the fact that I could, like, build Lego on the screen, you know, and this is what this Swift Playgrounds application on the iPad looks like, and I'm looking forward to testing it with my daughter.
For sure. One last thing before we finish is, I'm really happy about the push they made into developer tools. Like, it's not just user-facing features. The user-facing features are interesting. But No, I mean they're actually pretty great, but though mostly it's about, you know, integrations with things that are already here. But I'm also really happy about the fact that they made the developer tools great again.
We've made them three times bigger.
And like really just some improvements that we've been waiting for a while. So very happy about this.
Okay, then you know, finishing off the WWDC keynote. Can you tell me more about the conference as such? I mean, and people you met, and how it's been so far for you, and what's next? I mean, what are your plans for the rest of the week?
Oh yeah, no, this is all just the beginning. Like yesterday is like special events day. There's the main keynote, which is what a bunch of people see. Then there's something called State of the Union, which is a keynote, but just for developers. Like it's about APIs and tools. And then there's Apple Design Awards, which I skipped. It's you know, it's kind of boring if you don't win. And then for the rest of the week, for the next for today and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's three things during the conference itself. There's sessions. So essentially, like just, you know, you can learn all about all the new stuff and all the not so new stuff. Just a bunch of knowledge is only on the sessions. So that's cool. But, you know, there's like four or five simultaneous tracks. You'll always miss out on some. But it's okay. They're all available online. So this is the least important part of the whole conference. But then there's the labs where you have the opportunity to chat with, ask questions, show problems to the Apple engineers. You have the opportunity to actually find the person who wrote the thing you have a question about, and then that person can like help you personally. So that's very useful and exciting, because normally you can't get a hold of Apple people. Right, they're just, you know, very secretive, and they live in their own world, and this is the only opportunity during the year where when you can catch them and talk with them in person. Then there's there's like consultations, which is essentially labs, but there's like a lot of people who want to go there. They're like about Apple people giving you advice and tips about like design or marketing or whatever, and so you have to sign up for it. Like you have to schedule an appointment. And there's get-togethers, which is essentially like tiny like meetups about different topics during the conference. And then around the conference, there's a bunch of like, you know, meetups and parties and, you know, things like that.
Okay, sounds like really lots of things to do, and so you won't be sleeping much now, will you?
Oh, hopefully we'll sleep some.
Yeah, but I've already, you know, seen that you've been networking with people, meeting with people before the conference, and you met some of our, you know, some of people we know already in person. So I think it's going to be really cool for you there.
Yeah, met a lot of people already, people I've already known, met before, people I've known from the internet but haven't met in person. Actually met two Apple people, which is pretty cool. And yeah, there's four more days, so definitely going to try to get the most out of it.
All right. Looks really packed.
I'm sorry to the listeners. This episode is kind of strange and different, and my setup is terrible, and my voice is terrible this morning. But yeah, I have like 30 minutes before the sessions start, so we'll probably end here.
Thank you very much, and have a fantastic week.